I wore a sport jacket in here, but to me it's warm in here. I looked at Pastor Kenny and I said, is it warm in here? And he goes, yeah, but it's got to quit snowing before I can turn the air conditioning on. Amen. Had opportunity to preach to the pastors yesterday at the pastors' conference in Elbridge, and I always find it interesting, different things. And all I'll say to you is, you need to thank God for your pastor. All right, I had a conversation, and I just find it interesting because pastors are a weird group, and generally. You have to be either a little bit sadist or a little bit masochist to want to be in the ministry. I don't know. And some are one way and some are another. You know what I'm saying? That some, they think they're going to tell you everything and make you follow them. And other ones, they struggle because they want to minister. And then they run into people who want to tell them, okay, and tell them what to do. And so, you know, it's one of those things. You have to balance things out. And I still amazes me because I can still, in my heart, I'm a young, wet behind the ears pastor that my pastor, Pastor Krishna, had to put up with. And I find out I'm one of the oldest remaining pastors in the area. And so you look at me as someone with sage and wisdom. And I said, you haven't talked to the people at Emmanuel. Amen. Okay, so I look at that. But then I find strength in the fact that it said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Amen. And we're continuing. I told them, I said, if my pastor was here, said he couldn't make it because of certain things dealing with vehicles, he wasn't able to come with me. And I said, it's on Wednesday nights, I'm preaching the never-ending series on charity. Because Pastor Kinney says I preach never-ending series. And then I told him, well, you learned it from me. So if you see him and you think he's doing that, when tonight we're continuing our series on charity, okay, and as you remember, the title of this thing is All Your Things, A More Excellent Way. We won't read the original starting passage tonight for the sake of time, but I would have you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1 as we continue to learn about charity. And again, the Legault's definition of charity is the love of God flowing through the believer to others. Okay? Now, this is the epistle of Paul to one of his preacher boys. Okay, one of the men that he trained and it's out and he's pastoring a church here. And it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, verse 1 of chapter 1, by commandment of God our Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. And I read that and I'm going, amen. He's the blessed hope, his return, right? But he is our hope day by day in our lives. Okay, Judy and I pray, we claim our promises for healing every morning. We look at this and we talk about, you know, the world, they looks at it, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. And then a missionary quotes that tonight. Okay, and that's where our safety is. Our hope, and there's a hymn, our hope is in the Lord. Amen. And so you see that, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace and mercy and peace from God our Father. It doesn't mean that Timothy's dad was Paul. It means Paul was his spiritual father. Okay? I hope you understand, I don't mean it in the wrong way, but as a pastor, many times, you know what we feel like? We feel like we are the congregation's spiritual father. And that love that a father can have. I want you to know, Pastor Kenny and I, we don't have any feminine love for you at all. Okay? But we want to be able to have that protective shepherd's love as a father towards God's children. Amen? So it goes on, it says, Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went on into Macedonia, see, he left him there, and Timothy pastored in Ephesus, okay, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither giving heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is what? Charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. And I can't say anything more. I had a conversation with Pastor Kinney. I will not say any more, but I've run into that recently. Okay. Because I like chapter and verse, scripture with scripture. Don't tell me what you think it means. Tell me what it says. Okay? And so we have here, it says, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. And Paul's writing to Timothy and Timothy's ministry at Ephesus, and Timothy was left there to straighten out what? In our text, doctrinal problems, okay? And you need to understand, because there's certain things that go on. Now, I want you to, for the sake of that, so you have a background, when we look at this, look at Revelation chapter 2. I didn't mark this down, but I want you to see something. Revelation chapter 2, let me see here. Verse 1, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. Okay? I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And thou hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake thou hast labored and not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Want to understand? Nicolaitans is clergy over laity. It's a special, like the Catholic Church, okay? A special priest class. I was talking to the pastors there yesterday, and I said, sometimes we forget we're not Levitical priests, because the part of the Baptist doctrine, and again, okay, it's very simple, Baptist, Bible, the sole authority of all matters of faith and practice, autonomy of the local church, priesthood of the believer, so that means you and I are priests unto a lost and dying world. I'm not over you. You're not over me. I'm in a different position as a pastor. The priesthood of the believer, the two offices, pastor and deacon, the individual soul liberty, a saved, baptized church membership, two ordinances, baptism, and the Lord's table, which we just had. And if you want to make it ask, because there's more than one Baptist, it's separation of church and state. We don't believe in a state run religion. That's just an acronym of what a Baptist is. And I reminded the Baptist preachers yesterday that was true, because I said some of us get in an attitude and we start lording it over people. And God warns against that in his word. We're not to be lords over his flock, but examples unto the flock. And he says they've fallen from that, okay? And so he tells about the Nicolaitans, and he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And he's talking to that church at Ephesus. Historically, there was a church there. Doctrinally, that's a dispensational period time in the church age. You don't understand that yet? Talk to Pastor Kinney. He will lay it right out for you, okay? So you see that, you know, this was a good church. This was a church that was trying to do things right. This was a church that was full of heavy doctrinal correctness. Okay? For sake of time, I won't turn there. We can look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And you know, but watch what he was told at the church, what this doctrine should lead to. Love. Love. The purpose of pastoral ministry is edifying the body in what? Love. If a pastor doesn't edify and help the church build up in Christian love, the pastor's not doing what God has commanded him to do. You know what this church has been built on? There, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And you can be accepted here. All right? If you're under God's word, you'll start changing because guess what? A baby changes when they become a puking 3- and 4-year-old. They turn into a 7- or 8-year-old. Are they the same? No. Then they regress when they become teenagers. Hi, boys. Okay? And then they become young adults. Well, spiritually, same thing happens. The thing about it is, you know, spiritual age is not tied to chronological years. It's tied to an obedient heart and a surrender to what God says. Amen? So you're saying, why does that have to do with charity? You need to understand. God says the greatest of these, faith, hope, charity. This Ephesian church had knowledge and they had part of the doctrine down, but they just blew it when it came to application. It's very easy for someone to say, well, we believe this, okay? Well, you ought to say, I believe this because the Bible says. Not, well, my pastor said. Okay? And so, but they blew it because you know what happens? We can learn it. But personal application is where the rubber meets the road in the Christian life. Okay? So we get caught here, you know, when you turn around. And I want you to realize something. You can either have a legalistic Christianity that causes you to say, well, I do this and they don't. Or, I'm not as other men. Or why are they so hypocritical? The critical spirit has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. If you approach people in a critical spirit, let a man so examine himself. You with me? Okay, so then, if a brother be overtaken with a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, knowing ye yourselves what? Likewise can be tempted. Bear ye one of those burdens and so fulfill the cross. Or fulfill the what? The law of Christ. Okay? So what I want you to understand with that is it says here in verse 5, the end of the commandment. If your Christianity is based off of I'm a good Christian because I don't drink or chew or go with those who do. You have a very self-righteous Christianity. When a person grows up in Christ, it says that charity is the what? The end of the commandment. The end of the commandment. Romans chapter 10 and verse 4 says this. It says, for Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that what? Believeth. What ended the law? Jesus Christ on the cross ended the law. Because he said, it is finished. So the love of Christ, the love of God flowing through the believer to other people. Turn to Matthew chapter 22 and then get Mark 12. All right? Matthew 22. The end of the commandment is charity. Matthew 22, let's start at verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, okay, and I was like Pastor Christian, and he talked about, he says, you know why the Sadducees were sad? They didn't believe in the resurrection. So they were sad, you see. In this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus. We are above all people our most miserable. The sad, he put them to silence, so they were gathered together. So now you got the Pharisees, the muckety-mucks in the law of the Old Testament. They were the greatest keepers of the law. They're going to take on Jesus. Then said one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, doing what? Tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy... This is the first and... The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now turn to Mark chapter 12. Jesus answered this question more than once. Mark chapter 12, let's look at verse 28. And one of the scribes came, Mark 12, 28, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love His neighbor as Himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw, He answered discreetly. He said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask Him any question. See? For Christ is the end of the law. Charity is the end of the commandment. Here's the difference. I can do something because I have to obey the law, or I could do the same thing out of love for the person who wanted me to do it. One meets a legal obligation, the other demonstrates charity, a love for them. It should not be a burden if you love as Christ loved. John 13 and verse 34, A new commandment I give unto you, that was different from the law, see, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye love one another. James 2:8, But if ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you fulfill that, ye do well. The end of the commandment is charity. It's charity. You know, there's the old saying, it says charity begins at home. Husbands, love your wives as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for it. When a man loves his wife that way, he's fulfilling the commandment of God. It has nothing to do with reciprocation. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Well, I'm going to love her if she loves me. Oh, nuts. Get right with God. Okay? Don't like that? I was told not to say what I said the last time about that. Okay, I have to listen to my pastor, okay? See, charity, love begins where the law ends, okay? Go back to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. Start at verse 8 here. And it says, owe no man anything but love to love one another, for he that loveth another hath what? But the end of the commandment is charity. He has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh what? No ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. The end of the commandment is charity. It's charity. And it says it's out of a pure heart. The motives had no ulterior design tied to them. Amen? For God so loved the world that he gave. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Huh. The end of the commandment is charity. Charity begins at home. The head of the husband is Christ, and the head of the wife is the husband. But the husband is commanded of God to love his wife as Christ loves me. And my marriage is supposed to be a picture of the spiritual relationship between Jesus Christ and every individual believer. That means that it's not about me. It's about him. It's about him. Isn't that, am I making sense in that? Okay, all right. It's out of a pure heart. That's love given. Because love is a choice. That's what charity is. When it's messed up, we make it about, well, the other person, you know, they don't love me the way I should be loved. Okay? The end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a what? A good conscience. You know what you don't have to do? You don't have to feel guilty about it. If I love my wife as Christ loves me, and she rejects that, I don't answer for that. I answer to the one who loved me enough to give his life for me. And then God works there. That charity is to be seen in every Christian home. And men will tell me, well, my wife won't let me be the head of my home. And I said, God says you are. When you stop making it about authority and you make it more about service and responsibility, you know what? It changes. Okay? The end of commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience. I don't have to worry about saying, God, I'm sorry. Because my conscience is void of guilt and conviction. It's a good conscience. I don't have to feel guilty before God. I don't have to hide it. You know what I won't have to feel guilty about? When I offer charity to someone else, because my God offered the greatest charity for me to be saved. And so I can be secure in witnessing to someone. And you can be secure because you don't have to worry about what they think about you. If you witness and you reach in Christian love, in charity to them, you'll have done what God has commanded you. And who's responsible for when you obey God? Who's responsible for the outcome? It's not your love that you offer them. It's God's love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes God's love, Jesus, corrected people, didn't he? Why? To help them and protect them. To get them to a place where they could also understand how that love is to bring ultimate healing, not hurt. You still with me? Out of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. You believe what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The end of commandment is charity. Out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith that is real. You know what the world needs to see? They need to see us real. Okay? I am a flawed human being. Just ask Sammy. My grandson. All right? He doesn't tell me I'm flawed, but every time he frustrates me because he is in some ways like me. Okay? That I sometimes can be a little hard. Right, Sam? Yeah. But he has to understand that I love him. And I have to get out of the way for that to be seen. So that then I don't have to. My mother used to say, and this is what Judy carried on with our kids. My mother would say, you ought to go through the day that you don't have to apologize to your Savior tonight. And Judy would tell our kids, and Michael could repeat it, AJ could repeat it, Heather could repeat it, do right till the stars fall from heaven, do right. And then you won't have to apologize to God when you pray at night. A good conscience? I wonder what my conscience will be like if there's someone that I did not take the time in charity to tell them about the love of God, the judgment of God on their sin, and their need of a Savior. Can I have a good conscience then? And a faith that is real before them. We don't have faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Your faith ought to grow as you continue. Amen? Your faith ought to grow. There's saving faith, trusting Christ to save your soul, and then there's living faith. And when you come to the end of faith, you end up in charity. Because it's the end of the commandment. Pure heart, good conscience, and a faith unfeigned. And all God's people said, amen. Good night and God bless.